hear ye, this court is now in session. The Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts presiding. You may be seated. The court will come to order. Bailiff, call the first case. The first case is the Lord God Almighty versus his people. In view of the many visitors in court this day, the bailiff will now describe the nature of this court and its proceedings. Yes, my lord. This court is the court of heaven, in which all cases regarding entrance into heaven are decided. The Lord God Almighty serves as judge, jury, prosecuting attorney, and executioner in this court. This unusual arrangement is due to the fact that only the Lord God possesses all the characteristics necessary for carrying out these tasks in the correct way. All decisions of this court are final, for there is no higher court to which one might appeal. Very well, the bailiff will now describe the first case before the court this day. Yes, my lord, the first case this day is the Lord God Almighty versus his people. The Lord God Almighty charges that his people have failed to live up to the covenant or promise that he made with them when he made them his people. He says that the defendant has failed to do all that was required of them. The mountains and hills will be called upon as witnesses in this lawsuit. Very well, now that all the witnesses are under oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, we will begin. We will hear first of all from the prosecuting attorney. Thank you. The prosecution would first of all examine the witnesses as to whether or not the Lord God has been faithful to the promises that he made to his people when he made his covenant with them. Mountains and hills, give your expert testimony. Has the Lord God done all that he promised? Oh, most definitely. The Lord asked his people, and I quote, "My people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me." Well, the silence at that point spoke volumes. The people of God could say nothing at all in their defense. Never had the Lord God failed to do all that he had promised. Every promise he made, he had kept. Thank you. We will now examine the charges against God's people, beginning with the people of Israel and their conduct regarding the Lord's covenant with them. Mountains and hills, please tell the court what the Israelites promised when the Lord made his covenant with them. The Israelites promised to obey the Lord. We heard their promise, and it is recorded in the 24th chapter of Exodus, so that anyone could read for themselves. In response to the Lord making his covenant, the Israel promised, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." Now, if you would, please tell the court whether or not God's people have kept this promise of the covenant. We have seen the entire history of Israel, and we must report that time and time again, Israel failed to do what they had promised. Israel has many times over broken the Ten Commandments, lived contrary to what the Lord called them to do. They have committed many crimes against God's covenant, and they are worthy with being punished with death. So much for the people of Israel, but the case this morning is the Lord God Almighty versus his people. All his people of every time and era. The Lord has a lawsuit also with the people who are gathered here before him today. Mountains and hills, please tell us how these people have acted toward God's promises. The Lord has made his covenant with them. He has given them his promises of eternal life. In his word and sacraments, he has offered them continual access to his salvation. As with Israel, so with them, he has never even once failed to to be faithful to his promises to them. Very well, now offer your expert opinion as to how the Israelites acted, how people have acted toward God's promises. We are observers of the human condition. We have seen throughout the centuries how people have acted. One might have thought that perhaps people would have learned from the example of Israel. Sad to say, this has not been the case. All people have failed to live up to the standards of perfection that God's law requires of them. By their thoughts, if not in fact also their words and their deeds, they have not always done what God required. They have broken his will. They have failed to do all the good that he commands of them. All of them, therefore, are guilty before God and worthy of the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The witnesses may now step down. At this time, the judge will address a few words to the defendants. As judge of this court, I wish to speak to you before you go about the very important task of picking a defense attorney to represent you in this court. I do this not because I am required by law to do so, but because of my great concern for you. As you go about the very important task of selecting a defense attorney to represent you in this court, I ask you to consider what I, the Lord, have done for you. To the people of Israel, I speak these words as recorded in the book of Micah the prophet. I led you up from the land of Egypt. I ransomed you from the house of slavery. I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. My people, remember that I was the one who led you out of slavery from Egypt. I brought you through the Red Sea to freedom. I gave you leaders such as Moses to bring you out of slavery and to freedom. Without them, without me, you would have remained in bondage and subject also to death and damnation. Let me also add these words, also given through my prophet Micah. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, advised and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him. You know, when you were still wandering in the desert, Balak, king of Moab, hired my prophet Balaam to curse you. But I moved events so that he spoke to you not words of cursing, but words of blessing. The last and most important words of blessing that he spoke were those concerning the Savior to come. A star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel. That was a blessing that pointed to the coming of Jesus Christ. Finally, let me quote once again these words written for me by the prophet Micah. Remember what happened from Shittim to Gilgal in order to know the righteous deeds of the Lord. The time when you traveled from Shittim to Gilgal was the time when I led you through the waters of the Jordan River into the land that I had promised to give to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This land was a promise and a foretaste of the promised land of heaven and of eternal life to come. As for the rest of you, consider what you can learn from the history of Israel about my attitude toward you. It has only been a little over a month since the words of Balaam were read in many churches throughout the world. A star will come out of Jacob, and a scepter will arise in Israel. A prophecy of the birth of Jesus Christ at the first Christmas to be the Savior of the world. Remember what Christ did on your behalf. He went to the cross to suffer and die, bearing in his body the punishment for the sins of the whole world, the punishment even of eternal death and damnation. On the third day, he rose from the dead, confirming that his sacrifice had been sufficient for forgiveness of the entire world and making possible your resurrection from the dead to life to come, to the life to come. Consider also that I continued to care for you throughout your life. In your baptism, in my word, and in the meal of Christ's body and blood, I continue to bestow upon you the forgiveness of sins, and therefore the gift of life and salvation. Consider that my Son is the only way to eternal life. As he rose from the dead Easter morning, so his promise is that all those who put their faith in him will be raised at the last day to life eternal. I call upon you to consider all these things as you go about selecting the attorney to defend you in this court. And now, as you prepare to make that decision, let us give ear to the prophet Micah and his account of his conversation and dialogue with a representative Israelite. With what shall I approach the Lord and bow down to God Most High? Shall I approach him with whole burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with multitudes of rivers of oil? Shall I give my chosen son as my guilt offering, or the offspring of my loins as a sin offering for my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good and what the Lord is seeking from you. Nothing except to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Let us hear from the first group of defendants. What will be your defense to the charges made against you? We've done all right in this life, and we expect we have what it takes to do all right in the life to come. Why, we do good, we take care of our own, we never hurt anybody. We expect that what we've done in this life will offset any wrongs that we have done and do us just fine in the life to come. The court has heard the plea of this first group of defendants and renders its verdict. Not good enough. Guilty. Sentenced to the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. What about the second group of defendants? Let's hear from you. We offer our acts of religious devotion. I offer offerings and whole burnt offerings, things far more expensive than what even the Old Testament required. I offer my prayers, my attendance at church, my serving on boards and committees, my being an usher and an office holder, and doing all sorts of things in the church. Hey, I'm a pastor. Won't that make me right before you? The court has heard the defense of this second group of defendants and now renders its verdict. Not good enough. Guilty. Sentenced to the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Let us hear now from the third group of defendants. What will be your plea before this court? In our realization that we had sinned against God, we have offered our own children as a sacrifice. We have offered them up in payment for any wrongs we have done. Won't that be enough to offset the anger of God? The court has heard this plea of the third group of defendants and renders its verdict. Not good enough. Guilty. Sentenced to the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Are there no other defenses to be offered? What about the rest of you? What will be your plea before this court? We plead only that we are guilty of everything for which we have been charged. We have not done all that God commands. We have failed to do the good we should have done. We are worthy of the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Our defense attorney is Christ, who says this on our behalf. I have given my life in place of theirs. I have suffered the penalty of death and eternal damnation in their place. I have taken their sin and given them my righteousness before you. These are the words of our defense attorney, and they are the only defense that we offer before this court. Will the defense attorney provide evidence that this is indeed the plea of these defendants? My justice, on which their plea depends, shows itself in deeds of justice and righteousness that they perform. Your kindness, which is the only thing they plead, shows itself when they show acts of kindness to others. These acts of righteousness and kindness are not anything that they depend upon to be right before this court. They are only the evidence of the fact that they make the sacrifice of Christ, his work on their behalf, their only plea before the court. In this way, they are following the guidance of the prophet Micah to do justice, to love kindness, and walk faithfully with your God. The court has heard the defense of this last group of defendants and now renders its verdict. Not guilty. Come, you blessed, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This court is adjourned in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.